Everybody, this is Adam Seward, the host of Awaken Life here on Transformation Talk Radio, and thanks for joining me 4:30 on the eve of 9/11, the 10th anniversary, and in honor of the event, this gathering that's happening here in Seattle, Washington, but that is certainly without a doubt being felt all over the world. I'm here. I'm joined with a guest of mine. We're going to be talking today about what A Course in Miracles has to say about moving from fear to love. The Course has a lot to say about fear, and it has a lot to say about the shift that we are all experiencing right now as we've joined our energies and turned them toward the love vibration. I want to introduce my good friend, Paul DeFuria, who's here with me. Paul is a dear friend who, someone I see literally living what it means to live in love, to transcend fear, and to be a contributing member of this global shift. So, Paul, welcome. Thanks for being here with me today.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be just having a discussion with you and with each other just to allow some of the principles that relate to this this shift in an individual's life. Because really, the way that this world is going to shift from fear to love, and the way that this world is going to shift from the illusion of separateness to the realization of perfect oneness is with you. And how do I know this? Well, I see this transformation happening in myself and in those that are around me, and that is and we are the planet. So essentially, the shift that's happening in you is the shift that's happening on a global scale. Don't you agree, Paul?
I certainly would. That's a mouthful, Adam.
I know. I mean, Paul, just to check in with you right off the bat here, I mean, how do you see the shift happening in your own life from fear to love, personally?
Well, you know, it's a practice, an ongoing practice. But the first thing you have to know is that it's possible for you. And the next piece is that you have to be willing. So if it feels like there's something outside of yourself that's causing the fear, then it becomes hard to use that energy and move with it. So the first piece is to know that it's actually possible in this and every moment to move out of fear. Because fear is basically just life energy.
I love what the Course in Miracles says. It's very direct and it's very plain. In its language around fear, it says, there is nothing to fear.
That's true.
I mean, say more. What do you mean? How is that true?
Well, you know, there are a couple of different ways to look at it. You know, there's three different approaches, essentially. The first one is just when you're overwhelmed by fear, is just to sit and quiet the mind, because it's the mind that's creating a story, that's creating the panic or the fear or whatnot. So that's one practice, just to sit quietly and let that pass. And the Buddhist tradition, they call that a Hinayana practice, right? And that's usually some kind of vipassana or some meditation. But the Dalai Lama, for example, they do the Mahayana version of Buddhism, and that's taking fear and transforming it to love, right? So they take these negative feelings of fear they're overwhelmed by, and then through the practice and through all kinds of different, their tradition, lots of beautiful practice to move that fear into a love, an expression of love in the world, and that becomes all about service and whatnot. But the Vajrayana tradition is sort of the third school. And that's really a deeper realization of that fear itself is love, right? And so That's kind of all the way. That's the whole enchilada right there.
Well, that's sort of the non-dual approach.
Well, I like that one.
I tend to agree.
I like the direct way. I like the easy route.
Right. Well, and that was something I was thinking about, too. You know, I was looking at this event, won the event, and this intention that was set out to, to move toward oneness. And you know, what occurred to me is that oneness is reality. I mean, we are essentially one consciousness. We're the planet. We're consciousness experiencing itself as form. And so the only shift that is being called to be made is a shift in awareness.
That's it.
It's a shift in consciousness so that, naturally when that shift occurs, we act differently toward each other.
Sure.
I mean, if I truly look at you, Paul, and I see myself, I see, you know, my own mirror image looking right back at me, you know, which I looking at you right now, you know.
That's kind of intense.
But it's like, you know, the great masters have said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think, you know, you were talking about these three different approaches, and on one level that sounds like, you know, do good to another person so that they don't turn around and sock you or something like that. But on another level, it's like, do good because that's what you are.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
I mean, in the non-dual approach, they talk about, they say that the poison is the medicine. So if fear is the poison, really, there's a full embrace of it because it actually leads to the liberation. It is the liberation itself, in fact. So, you know, but that's a lot to ask for somebody who's in the throes of something. Like, you know, if they really feel scared because, that you know, their safety is threatened, you know, in the moment of that, it's a lot to overcome. So it's a lot to ask for somebody to drop in that way. So, you know, there are different, you know, there's different moments that you have, and in a moment of panic or whatnot, the best thing to do would be to relax and just sit quietly. And then, but, you know, toward a spiritual practice that's really going to fully embrace service and oneness, you begin to embrace the fear. That's a big key, because the fear is another way of saying suffering. Right? It's what you suffer. The thing you fear the most is what's causing you suffering.
Yeah.
That's a big one, right? Just to know, because if you know, hey, here comes fear, then you face it, move into it. As Pima Chodron says, go to the places that scare you.
Well, and like her teacher, Chogyam Trungpa said, lean into your fear.
I mean, like that.
He has a book about that.
Yeah.
And you know, what does that look like, you know, in a practical sense on a daily basis? I mean, this is something I've been working with a lot lately. We have, and I can just speak from personal experience, I mean, in my life, there have been times where I have worshipped fear.
Mm-hmm.
I put all my trust in fear to protect me, to look out for me. Of course, it lets you down every time.
Yes.
You know, I've formed a new commitment lately, not to protecting myself or anyone else from the things that they fear, but from fear itself. Because what is their real, like you said, your fear is your suffering. You know, whatever your greatest fear is, that's your suffering. And but then you look at something like A Course in Miracles, which has all these affirmations that are, again, so clear that just point you away from fear and towards truth. I like this one here. It says, your feet are safely set upon the road that leads the world to God.
Say that again. Come on in there.
Well, right, and the word safety is in there, right? So that's, you know, fear and safety are kind of like oil and water, right? You know, it's usually when we don't feel safe that we're most afraid. So it says, your feet are safely set upon the road that leads the world to God. So, this, you know, again goes back to this first point that I made, which is the shift that is taking place in you and in me today, right now, is a microcosm of the macrocosm, which is the world shifting from fear to love. Mm-hmm. I mean, this event, this 1D event, I mean, this is like just a ripple on the surface of an entire planet that's ready to bust, I think, into love. I mean, it feels like an egg that's about to crack.
Yeah. Well, obviously there's a lot of people being called in, you know, so when it happens effortlessly, you can tell something's going on.
There's another quote in A Course in Miracles that I really like, and it's, our oneness is reality. The world is merely waking up to its wholeness. You know, it's interesting, like, as individuals, we are whole. We are one. As a collective, we are whole. We are one. And what better way to know that than, you know, for me to look at you and say that and see, you know, my reflection nodding its head, your head, in understanding. And I feel like that's part of what this event has done. I mean, it's brought people together in the name of this higher vibration to affirm and then strengthen that in each other.
Yeah, that's great. It's beautiful. You know, that impulse of people to come together and share this experience they're having. The idea that that you can live beyond your fears. And, you know, those two quotes, by the way, they say the same thing, essentially. Right?
Right.
The you that they're talking about, that aspect of you that doesn't come and go,
yeah,
it's safe. And it's grounded, and so they're talking about the ground of being, right, in your own awareness.
Yes.
So they're saying it's okay, no matter what's happening in this realm here, in this dimension, things are smashing into one another, right? Our egos are bumping into each other, objects are bumping into each other, and yet, you know, it's still safe, because there's something that doesn't come and go, there's something that you know, that doesn't end. And then that's where the fear lies. See, the fear is just a story.
Right.
The fear is only in the story. So, you know, it's really worth looking at the story,
yeah,
and ask yourself, who is telling this story? Isn't it the truth?
Right.
See, because these are all ways to describe what in the tradition.
All around the planet, people are awakening to the reality that humanity and the Earth are now entering a heightened phase of activity on their inseparable journey.
What was that?
What's that? All right, well, I wanted to give everybody a little sneak preview into a video that...
I was on a roll.
You totally were, but apparently it was worth it to tune you into this awakening as one. Actually, it's on my blog right now. I was actually going to my blog to get you some oneness quotes, and it's on autoplay. And so, but that was a sneak preview. It's called Awakening as One, and the blog is embracingsilenceblog.blogspot.com. And it's a full hour of looking at the shift that's taking place. So that was an accident, but go there. Definitely go there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There are no accidents.
Well, exactly right.
I think that was your computer's way of telling me to stop talking too much. that's what you get.
Well, you know, there's the quote that I found here that was worth actually going to that blog is that it says, heaven is neither a place nor a condition, but merely the recognition of perfect oneness. So, I mean, that word heaven, I've been hearing it thrown around. I mean, people seem to be, you know, and that's you could say maybe a more Western term, you know, whether it's nirvana or enlightenment or awakening, this term heaven seems to be floating around. And, you know, what A Course in Miracles says is that all heaven is the recognition, the realization of oneness.
Mm.
So, like, just the fact that we're here having this conversation today over the airwaves from coast to coast, essentially, is because the world is making that shift.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is speaking to something that's outside the stream of time, right? So they're speaking about the eternal moment, in that.
Yes.
Right? And so in time, there's fear.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
But in the eternal moment, fear doesn't exist. There's no fear in now. It's only in the story that we overlay on top of it.
Well, where's fear without future?
That's right.
You know, I mean, if you just tune into the present, I mean, there's something that's so infinitely supporting about it. It's the same with oneness. If there's nothing outside of you, where's anything going to come from that could ever harm you?
There's nothing outside of you that you need to complete you either. So the striving for something goes, really. And that's where fear, a lot of it comes with a sense that, you know, there's something missing and you won't get it.
Right, right. A Course in Miracles says it says, do not seek outside yourself for anything. So if and it's interesting because there's this chapter where it just essentially it says that about 10 times within a few paragraphs, just to really drive the point home. Do not seek outside yourself. And that's for fulfillment or for safety.
Yeah.
Or for oneness. Yeah. I mean, essentially, you know, oneness is within us.
Yeah.
You can be sitting, you can be sitting in a cave and still be in the experience of oneness. But it sure is a hell of a lot more fun when you got other people around.
Hey, why not? You know, I mean, from one point of view, if you're fully awake in the moment, then you can let go of anything because everything's full and abundant, right? So there's really nothing that you need that to complete you or to make you feel safe. So, but then from another point of view, we're here now, so why not just enjoy it? It's not that fun to be contracted in fear.
Yeah.
So we want to take advantage of the opportunity that we have. Really, we don't know, and if anything, 9/11 taught the entire world is that in a moment, you know, who knows? We don't know that we'll be here in the next moment.
Right.
We take for granted that we'll be here tomorrow and next week. But if you're so fully awake and alive so that you're living, so this could be the last hour of your life.
Right.
What would you do?
Right.
If you only had an hour, only had a day, I mean, that's a kind of awake living that's very rigorous, but it's, you know, there's a huge payoff.
Yeah. Well, it's also the same question as, you know, I mean, well, it's a koan, really. I mean, like, what should I do? Right? I mean, that's this question that all of us are asking. I mean, that for someone, the answer was organize a worldwide event, put your life savings into it, and just trust that it's going to work out.
No. That's really, that's evidence of somebody just following their own heart and their own impulse, and then letting the doing piece just sort of fall into place.
Yeah. Rick Lawyer, the creator of Won the Event, he was on the show a couple weeks ago, and that's what he's done, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, Paul, I mean, my dad and I creating Awaken Life, I mean, part of what that's been is just like, well, it seems like the universe is calling me to make some noise around what is happening, in terms of awakening on the planet. How do I know that? Because that's what I'm doing.
Right.
And I, you know, of course, you and I are the universe. I mean, every word that comes out of your mouth is essentially the universe speaking. Yeah. So.
And it could be, you know, I could be speaking in fearful terms, and that would be love, as a fearful conversation.
Yeah.
But I prefer it to be one that's more grounded in what's real. It's just more fun to talk about. Right, and those choices that are made that come out of fear, how do those usually work out?
Well, you know, like I said, it's like, well, or like what I've been practicing is like, essentially we build altars to our fear, and we light candles and incense for our fear, and we worship our fear again with this belief that it's going to protect us. And what does it do?
Yeah.
What does it do? I mean, has there ever been a promise in your life that fear has kept?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you, you know, it promises safety continually, but that
doesn't deliver.
It never delivers.
It can't do. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're really asking it to do something it's not designed to do.
Yeah.
Fear, you know, like, there's an evolutionary reason for it, and it served.
Yes.
It has served to get us here.
Yes. Yeah. Can you speak to that a bit? Because I wanted to talk, that was something I actually wanted to speak to a bit today, too.
Well, you know, how the brain's evolved is a perfect example. You know,
sure.
If you look at your hand and you put your thumb in, that's essentially what your brain looks like. And your wrist is, you know, the spinal column, right?
Yeah.
Well, at that base of the palm of your hand,
yeah,
is the limbic part of your brain.
Yeah.
That is what the crocodiles have, right?
Right?
They don't have the cerebral cortex or the prefrontal cortex, where,
yeah,
the consciousness, we think the consciousness is.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just the thing that eats and runs and, right, and has sex, essentially.
Well, and protects.
That's it. Well,
you know?
It's expecting to be eaten.
Exactly.
So it's reproducing and trying to recreate itself. And that's all it can do.
At one point, there was a genetic imprint made in the human species that was the result of night after night of basically being on guard in case a predator was going to
come. That's right. I mean, if I'm sitting out in the plains and I sense a saber-tooth tiger coming, and I say, well, you know, fear is left. I'm going to be somebody's lunch, right?
Right.
So there was a reason to, like, hit it.
Right.
And there are times in our life where that will take over.
Right.
And it's natural.
Right. And the result of that, it's an overactive nervous system, essentially.
Well, okay, so that's the question. Is in any given moment, is that really useful? Does it serve to have your adrenals all pumped up? And if you're watching TV,
yeah,
video games or a lot of the images that you're seeing on,
right,
the media, they use that to just fire your brain up so you buy stuff.
Sure, sure.
So there is a use for it in some sense.
Yeah.
In a consumer sense.
Yeah.
But for most people who are on a path to find peace in their life, you know, that really doesn't serve anymore to get themselves charged up like that.
Right. It's interesting because, you know, I'll talk to people occasionally in my counseling practice, you know, about fear. And I'll sometimes, you know, I always want to be compassionate and intimate, you know, with another person's experience. You know, it's never, I feel, you know, when it comes to really living with an open heart, it's never right for me, it never feels right to me to ever deny another person their experience. However, I don't tend to support another person's fear.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone gives me this fear story,
mm-hmm,
and I kind of give them a blank look and say, well, yeah, I get that, and you know, obviously you're not making this stuff up. You know, your history, your family of origin, and everything makes all the sense in the world why you would have this fear. But at the same time, you know, it's like you're telling me there's a boogeyman under the bed. I'm saying, okay, let's get a flashlight and check it out. All right, there's no boogeyman. Let me tuck you in, and no, I'm not going to put the house up for sale because it's infested with boogeyman.
Well, I hear you. So there's three different ways to approach it.
Yeah.
One is that they're overcome by the boogeyman, and you just have to handle it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The second is they want to just talk about it, right?
Yeah.
To validate their experience. And in some sense, to get them, you can shift it from that fear to love just by agreement and by working things through and talking it through. And then,
yeah,
so they feel safe.
Yeah.
And then they can start to hear, you know, right. Another way is, and this just depends on if that person's having a moment where they're really willing to go right into the fear.
Yes.
And you and Kirk can say, let's go all the way in right now.
Right.
Because, you know, usually it's anger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the folks that were, you know, the actors in 9/11 were coming out of intense anger.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at how your emotional body works, below the anger is the fear.
Yeah.
And below the fear is terror. Really, the terror is of death,
uh-huh,
right? So in, you know, the mystics were always saying, when you start to, somebody who's doing a spiritual practice gets to that spot, they love it.
Yeah.
Because they know what comes next.
Right.
They're like, you're right on the edge.
Right.
This is right where you need to be because there's so much energy flowing.
Right.
And then you just keep going with it.
Yeah.
Then you go to when you really face this death, that's it.
Right.
You die to yourself,
right,
and you realize there is nothing ever to fear. I mean, when you're standing in your fear, what's left? There's no fear. You don't,
right,
experience fear anymore.
Right.
So that's why the game is always to move into your fear, as it were.
I mean,
it's not real.
It's light shining out darkness.
That's right. And if you don't, then what you're doing is living, even if it's very subtle, you're living in a space where you're feeling contracted and stressed or anxious or whatever.
Yeah.
and you don't know why, but you know you're at some level avoiding something.
Right, right. It's the unknown is always what's fearful, and the Course affirms this too. I mean, it just says, the only thing you fear is what you don't see.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you look upon it,
you
see that, in fact, there was never anything to fear.
Yeah.
It was only light.
Yeah. That's right.
It's all light.
Yeah. It's funny that you say the unknown is the thing that people fear, and it's very true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the unknown. It's not unknown in the absolute sense. It's some story they make about the unknown. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm,
they're making up some story that's just this horrible thing
that's
not real that they're making up about the unknown. The unknown is actually just unknown. It's open.
Yes.
It's a mystery,
which
is your own awareness, by the way.
Sometimes
they know, you know, really.
Yeah.
You say, how could you, you know, it's everything that is.
Yeah.
And it's always moving and always changing. That's what makes it juicy and beautiful and exciting. That's actually more, the fear is just, actually, just a stage.
Yes.
And so, of course, everyone knows you feel deeply, more deeply into your heart while you're afraid.
Yes.
You stay present in it.
Yeah.
Then you move to love.
You know what I love to have people do, and what I will do a lot is, if I'm in fear, I'll literally put my hand on my heart and just say, okay, how can I see this differently? And there's actually a lesson in the Course. It's within the first 50 lessons, and the lesson is, I could see peace instead of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one exercise, anyone, even if you're listening now, one exercise you could do would just be to put your hand over your heart, to imagine the planes going into the two towers, and to say, I could see peace instead of this.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just asking your heart, what does this look like through the lens of my heart? And suddenly you see that oneness. You see that even an act of terror is not something that happens outside of oneness. It's just the duality, you know, it's an aspect of the duality that is in fact not two, the love that has no all.
This is Elizabeth Cookson, producer and host of Healing Hearts Radio, a fourth-generation medium and inspirational speaker. After the unexpected loss of my infant daughter, I experienced firsthand grief and loss and was quickly faced with a choice. I chose forgiveness. Here is one quick tool that I want to share with you today. If there is someone in your life that you have been hurt by or hold painful memories of, here is a safe and healing way to let it go. Get a piece of paper and write a letter to that person. Address those fears. Let it rip. Let all the emotions and tears flow. When you're done, sign it and take it outside and safely burn it. Forgive and let it go. By embracing forgiveness, you will find more peace, gratitude, and joy in your life. I hope this information has served you. To learn more about me, visit ElizabethCookson.com. Elizabeth Cookson, sending you blessings and love.